Morning. All right, let's turn to Romans 4. Romans 4, and we'll be looking at verses 6 through 8. Romans 4, 6 through 8. Now, as we've been going through Romans, Paul is setting forth before us the gospel method of salvation. The gospel, how God saves according to His gospel. And that is, what's being revealed to us is that God freely forgives His people, whom He will, in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's based upon His righteousness. And in Christ, we are righteous. And it's not as human wisdom and as we're taught and as we understand things according to our earthly human wisdom, that is, that righteousness or justification is based on man's works, but we're taught of God that our righteousness is found, and it is by the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul, we saw last week that Paul showed Abraham. He brought in Abraham and showed that Abraham was justified by his faith, that is, looking unto the righteousness that God has provided in Christ. And so Abraham believed God. God declared to Abraham the gospel, saying that the righteousness of my people is provided for them and accomplished for them and by them in the Lord Jesus Christ, looking to Him and trusting Him, believing Him. And Abraham believed God, that that's his righteousness. The Lord Jesus Christ is his righteousness, and that he is righteous in Christ. And so that's why God counted it for righteousness with Abraham. So today, Paul speaks of David. He brings up David, the psalmist. And he shows that, or that David is teaching that, just like Abraham, as we see in Abraham, that man isn't justified by his works, by the things he does or doesn't do. But that man, the blessed man, is freely justified. That's God's terms. Freely justified by Christ, by the righteousness of another. It's in Christ that we are made righteous. All right? So, our title is The Blessing of Imputed Righteousness. The Blessing of Imputed Righteousness. And we'll be looking at two divisions here. The source of our blessing, and then our second division is called the same thing as the title, the blessing of imputed righteousness. Alright, so let's begin. Now, in Romans 4, we saw how Paul concluded with Abraham in Romans 4:5. He said, "But to him that worketh, that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." Looking to Christ, he's counted righteous in Christ. All right, now he includes the testimony of David in Romans 4:6. He's saying, "Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man." Right, this is what God has revealed to David, that the man who is blessed, the man who is blessed of God, is that it's unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. That man is blessed. That's what he's saying. That's what he's showing us, is that that man is blessed whom God imputes righteousness without his works, without looking to what he does or does not do. He's blessed him in Christ. And that's not what religion, what man-made religion teaches us. Man-made religion is very good at turning us away from Christ into our own works. Now, it begins, right, with just our earthly understanding and our earthly teaching and about things, about how a person is blessed, right? We learn by watching movies or TV or what we hear on the playground or what our parents tell us, you know, by the things that they do and how they push us toward good jobs and high education and things like that. They teach us that the blessed person is wealthy. They have money. They're independently wealthy. They don't need to work hard and labor every day because they're very successful in what they do, and They teach that to be healthy is blessed, or to be beautiful is blessed, and that's what the world teaches us and reveals to us, right? And then religion comes along, and they may quote Christ and say things like, well, Christ said, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And that's true. What this world teaches us about success and being blessed is not true. The world turns us away from Christ. And religion does the same thing, because when they quote verses like that, they begin to instruct you in what you now need to do to earn that blessing of God, to put yourself in the path of God's favor. And so they teach you things that you can be doing more of and more consistently, so that now you're in the path of God's favor and you're going to be set up to receive these blessings of God and His favor and His acceptance. And they'll take you to places like Matthew 5, where you see in verses 3 through 12, which is called the Beatitudes. Blessed is the man. Blessed is the man, right? And one of them is, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And those are all true, but how was your experience? How did they teach you in religion? What did they do? Well, they began to teach you how that you need to be mournful. You need to start carrying around this heavy burden of sin and guilt. And you need to knock yourself down a lot of notches, right? You need to become meek. And now you need to be a peacemaker, because then you're going to be called the Son of God. And they teach you all these things that you need to do to put yourself in the path of God's favor and blessings. And what they're speaking about is fruit that the Spirit of God will produce in His people. So that the Lord is the one that teaches us, it's not by my works of righteousness that I've done that God is pleased with me, because I have no works of righteousness. So He begins, through the preaching of the gospel, He separates us from those things that we naturally trust in and think, well, this is what God's pleased with, so that He'll produce in us a merciful heart, because we'll see and understand, well, God's been very merciful and gracious to me. And we'll see that more as we go on in this study. Now, they don't declare the righteousness of God in Christ, or they speak of it in the beginning, right? And they get you focused on what you need to be doing more of, so that now you can feel good or right about calling yourself a Christian and trusting Christ. And so the blessing of God, or the source of our forgiveness, is that God freely forgives His people in Christ. He freely forgives His people in Christ, and they will hear of God's provided salvation in His Son, and they'll rejoice in that. They'll be glad, because they'll know, they'll be brought to see by the light of God, by His Spirit, the light of Christ, that we ourselves are sinners and cannot work a righteousness for ourselves. God has provided that righteousness in His Son, and we're to rest in Him. And it's really as Paul stated to us, saying in Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, so that everything necessary, every fruit that's produced in us, every understanding that we grow to come to see, and that we realize about ourselves and what God has really done in delivering us from darkness, it all flows from Him. It all flows from God through Christ to His people. That's how the blessings flow. We don't put ourselves in the path of God's favor and then those blessings flow to us, but it flows freely from God through Christ to His people. So that what we know, and when we pray, when we seek Him, when we are broken and convicted by our sin, that's because God is blessing us freely by Christ. He's teaching us and guiding us and keeping us by Christ. So it's not because we did something to earn that blessing. We didn't earn the fact that God granted us repentance and turned us from our sin. No, Christ earned that. And because of Christ, God reveals that to us. And he shows us our sin. And he turns us from trusting ourselves and being confident in ourselves. So first comes the blessing of God in Christ. Then comes, for example, then comes the fruit of hearing the call, hearing the gospel, and the fruit of believing the gospel, and the fruit of resting in Christ and receiving those blessings of God by Christ. So it all flows from the Father through the Son to his people. It's not because we've done something to earn that. Okay? All right, now this brings us to our next point. The blessing that David is speaking of is imputed righteousness. So let's look at Romans 4, verse 6 again. David describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. Now to impute means to reckon a thing to be so, to count something as it is. So when you're taking account of a thing, you determine it to be so. You determine it to be something, and therefore you count it as such. And the reason why you count it as such is because that's what it is. It is what you are reckoning it to be. And so God imputes righteousness to us. He counts us righteous. He reckons us to be righteous because that's what we are in Christ. We are righteous before God in Christ. We have fulfilled the righteousness of the law in Christ. He's our substitute. In Christ, we did all those things necessary. We fulfilled the righteous requirement of God. We are perfect in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what imputed righteousness is, so that God deals with us now according to what we are in Christ, even the very righteousness of God. That's how he's dealing with us. That's exactly how he's dealing with us now in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, you know, when we look at ourselves, we see sin, right? We look at ourselves, we see the weakness of our sin. We see the thoughts that we have at times and how foolish we are, how we look at this world, how we pursue the things of this world, the sin that's in us, the things that we do that we're ashamed of. We see those things and we think, well, how is it that God could be so merciful for me? And that's usually where the flesh then begins to start to do religious things, right? To try and make up for what we've been doing, you know, and we try to build up a bank of righteousness, if you will, you know, reading our Bible more and praying more and doing religious things. And there's nothing wrong with reading the Word and praying. We ought to be praying and reading His Word. But that's not where our righteousness comes from. It's by Christ. We are even now righteous by the Lord Jesus Christ. And so God is dealing with us in Christ. He's merciful and gracious and long-suffering to us in Christ because of Christ, because he's already made us righteous with him. When you read Colossians, you read it in light of what he's teaching us about the imputation of righteousness in Christ. So that, for example, Colossians 2:20 says, "Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ," and that's what Paul's showing us, that we are dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world. Right? He said in Galatians 2:20, "And I am crucified with Christ." I am crucified with Christ. "Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." So we're already crucified with Christ. We've already died with Christ. Christ is in heavenly places. The scriptures, Paul tells us, we are seated with Christ in heavenly places, even now. And that's why he tells us here in Colossians 2:20, "Why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances?" See how he words that? Why as though living in the world? When we think about it, we think, I'm in the world and one day I'll be in heaven. He's saying you're already seated with Christ in heaven. Why as though living in the world? Are you subject to the rudiments of the world? In other words, the ordinances of the world. And he's saying, God already deals with us as righteous in Christ. And so believe him, rest in him, trust him that he has made you righteous in Christ. You are the righteousness of God in him. Now he goes on and shows us this blessing of God. He says back in Romans 4:7, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. See, they are forgiven and they are covered. And that spiritual blessing flows from heaven. It comes from God, from heaven. It's not something that we've earned, right? We don't earn that forgiveness. We don't earn that blessing. It's the free gift of God in Christ. It's what he freely gives us in Christ. I'm going to read from James chapter 1, verses 17 and 18, where he says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. We didn't earn it in the flesh down here on the earth. It's not of the earth. It's from above. It flows from God. And cometh down from the Father of lights. Right? Just as Christ came down from the Father of lights. He came down from heaven, from the bosom of the Father, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So that the blessing is, it can't be taken away. We didn't earn it, so we can't lose it. God freely gives it in his Son, Jesus Christ. All right, and then it says in verse 18, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. And since it's his will, it stands. God does whatsoever he pleases according to his will. All right, now we see his sovereign will. We see what he declares to us in the scriptures, revealing this to us through the gospel. As he said in Romans 9, verses 11 through 13. He says, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. And then it was said to her, to Rebecca, the elder shall serve the younger, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. And so that's teaching us, again, affirming to us over and over again, what Paul is doing in Romans is he keeps reaffirming to us that whether you're Jew or Gentile, however you were raised, whatever you were looking to and trusting in for your righteousness before the gospel came, before God revealed the gospel to you, all those things are dumb. All those things are put away. All those things are not influencing how God is dealing with you. The only one influencing God is Christ, who ever interceded for us before the throne of his Father. And that no man by his works is earning the favor of God or keeping the favor of God or changing the mind of God. God deals with us in grace. And the way he deals with us, the way we continue looking to him and resting in him, we thank God for that. We thank God for that because we know what we are in ourselves and in our thoughts. Now, Paul is quoting from Psalm 32. So I'll read that and then we're going to go over to Psalm 32. Let me just read Romans 4, 7 and 8 again, where it says, this is quoting David from the Psalm, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. And when you read that, and when you read Psalm 32, where David is, none of that blessing is speaking at all of what the man has done or what the man is doing or the promise of the man to be doing anything. It's all the promise of God in Christ. It's all bound and fixed in our Lord Jesus Christ so that it continues. It always is and continues to be the free and sovereign grace of our God in Christ. And the key to it all is what Paul said there in Romans 4:6, where he said, unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. Right? It's always without our works. And it's so hard for us to believe that in the flesh. It's so hard for us to rest believing that it really is without our works, that we're not the ones steering the ship, you know, that our works are the rudder that kind of keep us, you know, in the path of God and you know, it's here now and I got to adjust here and there. The Lord is teaching us. He does chasten us. He does instruct us is what that means. He's instructing us as a parent instructs their children and guides their children. He is really instructing us and keeping us. And He's teaching us so that it's really not our works, but His work. All right, now, if you're there at Psalm 32, we'll pick up in verse 3. David here, he's declaring the blessing of God, of God's imputed righteousness, and he gives an example of his failed attempt at swaying God to forgive him. Psalm 32, verse 3. He says, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day. And this is what religious people do. Right? Religious people realize, well, I'm a Christian now. I'm not supposed to be sinning. I'm not supposed to be doing bad things and evil things and wicked things. So I don't want to confess and admit that these are sin, that my flesh is still sin, that I'm still weak. I don't want to say that before God because I'm supposed to be perfect now. I'm supposed to do what's right, and I'm supposed to be perfect in my ways. I'm supposed to show myself as an excellent person now and a person who trusts God and believes God and does what's right. And so he's keeping that back. He's trying to deal with himself and deal with God as though he's perfect in himself. And so he says, when I kept silent about my sin, the Lord didn't let him stay there. His bones waxed old through his roaring all the day long. So you see how God is the one that will not allow his children to go back to the flesh. He's going to keep teaching us and keep showing us what our true righteousness is, that it's his free grace in the Lord Jesus Christ, all right? He says, verse 4, for day and night thy hand was heavy upon me, my moisture is turned into the drought of summer, Selah. So that God is going to ensure that we know his free grace through the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not going to allow us to come away thinking that now I'm perfect in this flesh, that this flesh is improving. And I don't want to, you know, and so that we begin to hide this from one another. We begin to pretend and deal with one another as though I'm some perfect person. I don't do anything wrong. I don't make mistakes. Or if I do a sin, it's just a mistake. You know, it's just a mistake. It's not a sin. And that's how religion teaches you, so that we put on this facade and we pretend that we're good now and we don't do anything wrong. And so it all gets hidden and kept back from view, if you will. And then we see where the Lord brings us to the point where we confess our sin and acknowledge it to the Lord. He says, verse 5, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. So that David was brought to see, that's not my hope of standing in righteousness because I'm perfect in this flesh. I know what I am in the flesh. I'm a sinner with wicked thoughts and wicked deeds and wicked actions. That doesn't mean I go and do everything that the flesh would do. The Lord teaches his people and keeps us. But when we fall, when we sin, we confess our sin. It's not about lying to one another and lying to God that now we're somehow perfect in ourselves. We're not. This flesh is still weak and sinful and prone to the lusts and the passions of the flesh. Our hope is not that I'm perfect now in what I do, but that I'm perfect in Christ. And so we confess our sin and we freely call upon the Lord. And that's why David said, that man's blessed to whom the Lord does not impute sin. That he doesn't deal with us as sinners. Because sinners are destroyed. Sinners that have no hope in Christ, they shall be destroyed. They shall pay for their sins in hell. And God isn't dealing with his people in Christ in that manner, in that way. All right, he deals with us in Christ. And the Lord taught us that in John 3:21. In John 3:21, remember what Christ said? He said, but he that doeth truth, he that is taught of the Lord, he that believes Christ, that trusts Christ for their righteousness, they come to the light. We come to the light. That his deeds may be manifest, may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. God's the one that works all our works of righteousness. He worked them in Christ. We worked righteousness in Christ. We were in Christ when we are in him when he fulfilled all the righteousness of God were in him. When he died under the law, we were in Christ. We were crucified with Christ. When he rose, we rose. Everything that we are and everything we have is in Christ. And so the blessing of God is that he makes his people righteous in Christ apart from our works of righteousness. Right? It's apart from our works of righteousness that we've done. And so the question is, do you believe God? Do you believe the Son? If you believe him, if he's shown you that you're a sinner, that you can't work a righteousness of your own, but that he's provided righteousness in his Son, then believe him. Confess him. If he's shown you that in the heart, brought you to see that, yeah, I can't work a righteousness of my own. He's shown you that to behold his Son, to behold the righteousness that God has provided in his Son. And he says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you do that, if you call upon the Lord, and you ask him for forgiveness, and you ask him to cover your sin in Christ's blood, he will, because whosoever does that, it's his leading. He's the one that teaches us that. And that's all we have to thank and boast in, is what God has done for us and what he's shown us in his Son, Jesus Christ. Right? And so it's God that stirs up the heart. It's God that gives us that hunger and thirst for righteousness. And they're blessed because he's the one that stirred them up and he's the one that fills them with that hope of righteousness in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they are righteous in him. So in Christ, God has concealed our sin. We don't have to conceal our sin before God. We don't practice. We don't go on willingly trying to practice sin. But we know and rest that God has concealed our sin. He's covered it. He's put it away in Christ by his blood, and so it's forever put away in him. And once the child of God has heard, they may hear it many week after week after week, they may hear the gospel preached, they may hear the call, but they don't hear by the Spirit. But when God causes a sinner to hear by the Spirit, and that God saves by grace, they're thankful, and they don't follow another voice. The Lord keeps them looking to Christ, not looking now to Moses' law and looking to what they need to be doing to perfect themselves and make themselves better or more accepted to God and put themselves in righteousness. So Christ said in John 10:27-28, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. So the blessings that God has imputed righteousness to his people freely. Freely. He does this freely. It's on his terms. It's what he has determined to do. It's how he saves his people freely in Christ. And they that hear that gospel know that's the blessing of God. That's the imputed righteousness that he has put us in Christ, and in Christ we are righteous, and that's how God deals with us, as righteous, because that's what we are in Christ. So I pray the Lord will comfort you in that message, to know that you're righteous You that believe him and have no confidence in the flesh are righteous in Christ before God. All right, let's pray. Our gracious Lord, we thank you for the free gift of salvation that you provided in your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we know that we cannot work righteousness, that we can't keep ourselves in the path of righteousness or put ourselves in the path of your favor and blessing. But Lord, we confess that we are sinners and have no righteousness of our own. But Lord, we ask that you would ever keep us looking to Christ, that you would stir up in our hearts that desire and to serve you, to love you, and to serve your people and love them. Lord, help us, because you know the weakness of this flesh and how we turn to sin and how we turn to righteousness to correct ourselves. But we pray that you would ever keep us looking to your Son, Jesus Christ, to know the blessedness of the man whom you impute righteousness to without works. We pray that you would teach us this in the heart. It's in Christ's name we pray and give thanks.